Hi folks, here we are at Vision du Réel with director Emily Bouget. So this is a special festival edition for you because it's your final edition. You came to Vision du Réel in 2017, you did 9 editions, and now you're moving on to the Geneva International Film Festival. How do you feel about this now being your final edition?
Hi. Well, I feel serene, I have to say, because as you say, it's my 9th edition. I've been here for a really long time. Before that, I was in the programming team, in the selection committee for 5 years. I feel like I have done what I was aiming to do with Vision du Réel. I feel like the festival has changed and evolved in the past 9 years, and I'm quite happy about how it looks now. So I feel like passing it in a good state. And I feel like also it's important both for me and for the festival to move on and get a new energy, get a new project, get a new challenge, get a new face for the festival. So I think it's a good timing.
Do you know who will be your successor? Is it still up in the air?
No, it's really, they are at the beginning of the process. It's the call is open right now. So it's going to be a few moments before we know.
This is actually something that we should get into in the future at another point. How are festival directors chosen? But now that I'm here with Emily, how did you make this decision to move on from Vision du Réel to the Geneva Festival? Was Vision du Réel getting too small? Because it grew so much under your supervision.
No, I think it's not too small at all. I think it's rather big. It's just that, you know, as you say, it has grown with me, and I feel like I have done what I had to do and I need another challenge. So I really feel like for me it's a good moment to move on to another festival and to change it there. The festival is a very different one. It's really focusing actually like opening on different things, both cinema, series and VR, and it's really about, you know, taking over another festival in a different city with different infrastructure as well, because Nyon, of course, is taking place in this particular town, which is, you know, rather small. So it creates both something really special because you can meet everyone and the festival, the city becomes the festival, but it's also limiting in some regards. And so I'm curious and excited to try to run another festival, change it, bring it to another phase, hopefully make it also bigger and position it in a different manner.
The main change from the outside that you brought to Vision du Réel is that the star factor has so much grown. And that is interesting because documentary cinema is not so much associated with big stars as fiction film. Werner Herzog has been here, Claire Denis, Raoul Peck was here the last year. This year it's Kelly Reichardt. And that's also another interesting point because Kelly Reichardt, while her work has a decisive documentary influence, she's not a classical documentary filmmaker. Most of her work would actually be classified as fiction. Would you like to talk a little bit about your process of making these changes and what influenced you, also your own view on documentary film and fiction film?
First, I'm not trying to avoid the word documentary, which I think is like bringing way too many references and things that I don't really necessarily want to associate with. I prefer nonfiction also, although it's negative, which is not great, of course. I think that for me, the most important idea behind what we are doing here is very strong artistic voices, very strong authors' views. So it's really about how someone is looking at something and how they want to portray reality or something they want to share, basically. And in my experience, sometimes this takes the shape of, you know, very hybrid forms or very sometimes fiction leaning forms, because somehow if you want to tell something and it's not happening exactly the way you want in front of your eyes, maybe you're going to use other tools to express what you want to express. And even like if you go back to the roots of cinema vérité, you will see that things have always been staged, things are framed and things are edited, and it's cinema, it's an art form. So, you know, it's a construction all in all, non-fiction or fiction. And I think that Kelly Reichardt for me is an interesting figure, although she's definitely someone that works with fiction, because I think that, you know, she works with fiction that is very slow, very much diving into the context that she's shooting in, very much, you know, trying to have a narrative that is as pure as possible in order to dig into the detail, watch the characters who become somehow, you know, a certain image of a certain US society. So I think that, and also, you know, the fact that she's a lot working in the margin and again, like questioning the US society and trying to give a portrait of it. And okay, it's true fiction, but somehow I don't find it so far-fetched from what we do. You know, we know that those production, her production tends to be, you know, very economic economically modest because she wants to keep the freedom and spend more time. And so I think that she's close to, you know, what we do and the notion of cinema that we want to defend. To have identified figure in a festival such as ours is very helpful, because in the lineup, we have, on the contrary, a lot of new faces. It's really important for me to, you know, when you announce a lineup in which you have a lot of new faces, you're going to say, hey, look, we have all those films by those people that you never heard of. It's hard to, you know, try and explain what you're going to do. If you say we have a lot of first features by all these people, those filmmakers give an idea to an audience that knows a bit of cinema. If we have Werner Herzog, if we have Claire Denis, if we have Kelly Reichardt, there is a certain idea of the kind of cinema that you will find. To me, it's really helpful to have figures that help you understand what we are doing. And then behind that, you have this amazing official selection, and then you're going to get to discover new people and new films.
Actually, the border between nonfiction and fiction is an interesting point, as we're living in a time when it becomes harder and harder to actually even discern which is which, thanks to AI images, but also thanks to films that strongly manipulate their viewers in terms of what is actually happening and what is not happening. At the same time, there's a very strong discussion going on what is supposed to be even shown to people and what is supposed to be censored, be it for supposedly ethical reasons or other political reasons. How much does this influence your work, and are there certain mechanisms at play, for example, to discern AI images from real images? Because I imagine that if you get hundreds or maybe thousands of films, how do you even make the decision when watching them? Is that a real scene or is it created by a computer?
It's a very contemporary question, for sure. This year, we had for the first time, indeed, films where we thought maybe this is AI and we are not sure. Because we work with nonfiction, it's, of course, a question that is quite relevant ethically and politically, because if you create an image that doesn't exist, if you work on an image, is, you know, two different things. So for some films, we did contact the filmmakers to ask them whether it was AI or not, saying, you know, we need to know if it's just in a sequence you find somewhere or if it's something you created. We need to understand. And if I was staying, I would definitely change the rules and regulation and say next year that we want to get a hint in the submission that AI has been used and in which way. When we asked this year, the person that we asked, it said that they had found the sequences online. It was like found footage, but they use AI to, you know, upscale it because it was too low definition. So that's, of course, not an issue. We have several films in the program this year that use AI as a tool to create images where images are missing. That's always also a question, but, you know, it's the same with animation, for instance, that when you use animation for documentary, then, of course, people say, but it's animation, it cannot be documentary. And, well, we know that it can. So it's really a question of, to me, it's just really a question of honesty and of whether there is a political, ethical matter that can be at stake and that can be an issue, or whether there isn't. In general, I have nothing against using new tools to produce films. I think it's fine that, you know, we want to investigate those new possibilities. But again, you just have to be working within a specific frame.
The same issue that struck me in the last year a lot is that AI is also very present in the texts that you see around the film festival. Of course, there's all the synopsis, descriptions of films, then there are certain introduction text, but also all the reviews that are written. How much are you concerned, if at all, about staff using AI to create film synopsis, or about also, do you look at the reviews that get written for the festivals to discern between all those that are just using AI to push out a text that they have maybe just changed a few words in, and those who are actually still writing about a festival?
For the reviews, no. I'm not really monitoring who is doing what. That we have many reviews, and I feel like sometimes it's just a bit overwhelming, so I tend not to read so much the press, or sometimes afterwards, later. For the text that we write, I think that we have two formats. One is short and one is long. The long one is rather personal. Those are signed text, and I feel like the selection committee, after having watched 3,700 films, has a certain ambition to express why we have to pick those films. I do not feel like we are being overwhelmed with the AI at this point, but I mean, of course, those tools are getting better, and as along the way, it's possible that some people will feel attracted to them. But at this point, I don't feel like it's our case.
Given the growing political fractures in the world. Nonfiction film is also faced with works that have more politically extreme points. How much does that influence your work as an artistic program director? Do you find more works that have possibly problematic political positions or works where you say, this is one-sided, we cannot take this in? Do you feel this political slide in the festival programming?
I think that we big films, we are in agreement with political subjectively.
That is interesting because not every festival does that.
It's not like we are agreeing with everything that is being done and said in each film, but I would, for instance, not want to pick a film that I find disturbing politically. That's for sure. It's also interesting. Some films are disturbing me in some places, but I find it rather fertile. And we always, for instance, when we fight a lot about a film because we disagree massively, we tend to end up saying, you know, if we've been fighting for a really long time, it means there is something interesting and we can continue this discussion in the Q&A. So we also feel like the festival is a space for discussion, for disagreement as well. It's a space also to have a variety of voices, and sometimes we make mistakes as well. Sometimes someone arrives and we see that we have maybe misread the film when we talk with that person. So, you know, but that's what makes it also nice for me. There is something that's deeply human and it can be great, and sometimes it's not exactly the way we wanted it. But in general, of course, we are programming films that we feel politically are defending positions that we think are valuable.
For you personally, is it more important how a film feels on an artistic level or what it says on a social or political level?
I mean, we definitely are on the side of cinema.
That means
artistically, first of all. But of course, it's also reality and it's also the world that we are dealing with. And there are films where we think, okay, you know, we have to show that film. It's really important that we help those stories to be told, and we have enough films as well to do that. But our main goal is artistic.
Some festivals build specific structures where certain filmmakers are nourished, they're kept close, and they come again and again to the festival. Do you appreciate such structures, or do you think it's more like a form of lobbyism?
Well, it depends how it's done. I mean, you know, to me, there is definitely something of a certain family. For instance, we have the industry, and if a project is taking part in the industry, sometimes they also take part later in the lineup, and it's of course a way to create a relation. So for instance, some project we think, hey, it would be nice to have that as a film later if it ends up being as good as we think it's going to be. But it's not a pressure, and I am also, for instance, very proud when we have a first feature that works well and the second feature goes to Berlin. You know, I'm like thinking it's annoying, but on the other side I'm proud because I feel like we've helped someone come out, and then the second one goes in a general festival that is bigger than us, and it's fine. So I think that it should be free. I think everybody should be, we are free not to take films, and filmmakers are free not to come to us. It's okay. I think it's part of the game.
Are there other festivals, especially those with a nonfiction focus, that inspire you or that you maybe look at and that you admire a lot?
Well, I think that there are many festivals that are interesting with different profile. I think that at the moment, I have the feeling that the big nonfiction festival are quite different from each other, and it's good. So there are some initiative or some things that are, you know, I'm admiring and looking at other festivals, but there is no festival that I would say, oh my God, is exactly what we want to become. I think that I'm quite happy with what we are, and the fact that we are taking place in Nyon is also, you know, something that is very particular, I think, in comparison to Amsterdam or CP or Copenhagen, for instance. So yes, it's more like, you know, some ideas, some projects, some initiatives that are inspiring, but in general, I think the profiles are different.
Yesterday at the opening ceremony, which was the first opening ceremony that I have seen here, I remember there was the sentence, it wasn't spoken by you, there was another orator who said that we are together as long as we watch together. It's only my second Vision du Réel, but I cannot help but notice that it seems that this audience here is pretty much middle class, that it's pretty white, that it's pretty able-bodied, pretty academic. So how much are we actually together on a social level?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that there are different things that's at play here. First, the city we're in. I would also add, if you look at the local audience, it's also rather old. It's a rather rich town and it's a rather old town. And this is the bone of our audience. Then I think that, you know, we try to, for instance, have prices that are affordable, but you still have to come to Nyon. And we haven't been able able to, for instance, organize a partnership. We have been trying hard to organize a partnership with the railway so that it's cheaper to come, but we haven't been able to do that because we are too small for them.
So, which would be such a great help because it costs me so much money, the railway.
I know, but they're not interested. We are too small for that, not attractive enough. So of course, you know, like we can do whatever we want, but still people in Geneva or people in Lausanne, you know, from different contexts would have a hard time paying the train to come. So that's an issue, of course. In regard to where I would disagree with you is that in regard to disabilities, we are working really, really hard on that part. And I think we are doing better job than many of our corresponding festivals in Switzerland, for sure. We have a lot of a system that allow people, impaired people, any kind of impairment to take part in screenings. And it works well. For instance, today we had a screening with both, in French we call it audio description, I don't know how it's called in English, but it's like the description of the film in parallel, also description that describes both the text and the sound, and with like a signed Q&A. And we have another one tomorrow, and we have like organized all the theater for wheelchairs, and we also have activities that are dedicated for people who have migrated to Switzerland, who we organize screenings, they come accompanied by someone. So we have a lot of actually activities that are trying to, you know, break that. But I agree with, there is a financial thing that we have a hard time bridging.
Another important aspect that I've been encountering a lot at many, many festivals, online viewing.
Yes.
There are even festivals who have online accreditations. Do you feel in any way that this maybe threatens the actual festival experience? Is that really what a festival is about? Like watching many films, but not meeting people, discussing things, all these?
Yes, but I mean, you know, actually you are contradicting yourself, because for us, the online offer is really aimed at people that cannot attend the festival, both for financial reason, for physical reason, for geographical reason. So in theory, and that works actually really well. Last year, we doubled our entries. For instance, someone that is in Zurich and cannot attend the festival for 25 francs gets, you know, the possibility to watch many films online. And of course, it's a different experience, no question. But like in terms of expanding our audience, to us, it's a way to do it.
I hear you, and I have heard this argument in the past, but still I want to point out, offering a substitution is only offering a substitution and never the real thing. And especially in terms of people who are financially kept from attending a festival, this can never be enough. And as somebody from underclass, I will never accept a second-rate solution instead of getting the real thing that middle-class people have. Last question, what would you hope most for the future of film festivals to happen so that all the film festivals can proliferate and continue?
Well, I think that, you know, it's just, and in Switzerland and also in other countries, we know that cinemas have a hard time still since the COVID. And I feel like festivals have a really important part to play in regard to the diversity of the cinema, like the films that are being offered. And so I just hope that festivals can basically continue, because I know that we are entering harder years financially. There are cuts everywhere. We can see them coming. And so I just hope festivals can continue, because I think that they really offer something else that allows not to, you know, not an awakening of, you know, the cinematic landscape and the film landscape that we have today, with people that, you know, are watching more and more kind of like streaming platforms, not so much TV anymore, YouTube, 3 seconds reels on their phone. I'm doing that as well. I'm not judging, but you know, I think that we have to make sure that we do not live in a world where, you know, everything has become really poor and narrow-minded. So I think that festivals have an important role to play in terms of diversity.
Thank you so much for this interview, Emily Bouget.
Thank you.